For our scripture reading, I would like to direct your attention to two portions from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. First of all, from chapter 1, the prayer that we read there. And then after that, from chapter 6, about the armor, the whole armor of God. So first of all, Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As far as the reading of God's precious word to us. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. When someone is converted, often in the past they used to say to such a person, welcome to the fight. Welcome to the fight. And yes, indeed, often in the scriptures, the Christian life is compared to a battlefield. And as we come together in the coming midweeks, as the Lord gives us life and strength, we would like to start a series in which we want to think about that battle, and in which we have the desire that we would be equipped for that battle and encouraged in that battle. Because everything we do in life is part of that spiritual battle that we have to fight when we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our work, our schooling, or our parenting, or whatever we do, even our outreach. We need to have that mighty armor, that outfit, so to say, that God provides, and not our own strength. And we need to take what God gives, and we need to, by the grace of God, with prayer, put on every piece that God gives. Because we have a mighty opponent. We have a devil to fight, which is malicious. And this war is real. It started, as we all know, right there after the fall in Genesis, or right there in the fall, where the devil came and tempted Eve and Adam together, and we fell. And there the fight started. And God said, I will put enmity against that devil in Genesis 3, verse 15. I'm going to fight that battle for you. And so, as we think about these things, it's my prayer that we, as we listen to these messages, that we would, with prayer, put on every piece by piece, and that the Lord would, as it were, teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. I would like to direct your attention to our text, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12, where we read these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, our theme comes simply from the text and is put on the whole armor of God. First of all, we are going to look at that outfit in general, as God has that outfit for us in the letter of Ephesians. And then we look at the orders, the commands that God gives us, especially this command, put on that whole armor of God. And then finally, we look at the opponent, the devil. So we are here in Ephesians 6. At the end of the epistle, it's something that Paul was thinking, how can I summarize what I have been talking about so far? And he wants to wrap up this whole epistle. And children, he uses this picture, the picture of the battle, the picture of a soldier. And the idea that is in that picture is we need to be battle ready. We need to be equipped. It's in that picture we have the idea of the Christian life is indeed not an easy life. It's warfare. It is sometimes even as it feels like hand-to-hand combat. And so, how does this word, our text start? It starts with this word finally. To wrap it all up, yes. To say to us, be ready to fight this battle. But also this word finally reminds us of this fact that don't forget what I've said before. Because that actually, those things empower us. The context that fits us for battle, because God gives, when we think about this body, the church, he speaks about the body in Ephesians a lot. The body of Christ is the church. That church is fitted with a garment of power and strength by the grace of the Holy Spirit. So often, as it happens in the scriptures, we need to remember things that we already know. We need to remind ourselves of the truths of the gospel. And the first thing that we need to remind ourselves is how did this epistle start? It started with a, if you will, an outpouring of blessings. Do you remember that? All those spiritual blessings in heavenly places for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the mighty power that God gives to His children. What is it? They are chosen. Chosen to be holy. Chosen by God from eternity. Predestined. They have a destiny in their lives. What? To be precious children of God. They are accepted. Not because of anything of themselves, not because they were so good, they were so righteous, they did everything that was supposed. No, they were not. No, they were accepted. If you are in Christ tonight, you are accepted only because of the beloved Jesus Christ. They are redeemed. That means you and I were in bondage, but God paid that price. Christ paid it on the cross, redeemed by the blood of that precious Lamb, Jesus Christ. And now, by the grace of God, we are more and more learning that mystery of the gospel. Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this King Almighty? And as this gospel is working in our hearts, as the word is working in our hearts, we receive more and more the assurance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes by amazing grace. These are some of those blessings that God, as it were, lavishes upon His people. It's an outpouring. That's why it says, finally, my brethren. Are you one of those blessed brethren that Paul is addressing here, trusting in all those precious blessings of Jesus Christ? Remember then also the outfit that you were not outfitted with these blessings. No, what were you? Chapter 2, we all know it. Dead in trespasses and sins. A child of Satan. That's what we were. Loving the world, loving ourselves, loving our lusts, disobedience to God, disobedience to God's word, under the wrath of God, uninterested. Is there someone who is still there tonight? Under the wrath of God? God is able, by His resurrection power, to speak to your soul and to say, be alive, raise you from the dead, and make you alive. But child of God, that's what you were. That's what He did in your life. Remember who you once were. And why did He do it? Only because of one thing. God's grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. For what? Remember the purpose. For what He did it. He did it for one purpose. It says there in that second chapter that we are now His workmanship, created unto good works. That's why He did it. He wants us to walk in those good works that He beforehand has prepared for us. But maybe you are here tonight and say, but I see my sin. That's the only thing I see. I have failed Him over and over and over. Well, that's why we need this gospel again and again and again. And we need to remember what He has done, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That perfect one who never failed. And remember where He is now, before anything about the battle, before anything about our opponents, before anything we hear. We need to remember, where is Christ now? That's why we read that prayer in chapter 1. It says that you might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul prays that you know more about Jesus Christ and that you treasure Him more and that you are filled, your mind and your heart and your life is filled with His power, that you know Him. that you know Him. Children, that's what it means. That God's Spirit comes to your heart and you see Him with the eyes of faith, with your heart, very personal, and that you know what is the inheritance that He prepares for those that are saved and those that begin to love Him. That inheritance, that future that He has prepared. He is there already. He's preparing it. Where is He? In that prayer, Paul says it very clearly. He is on the throne. He is at the right hand, the place of honor, far above anything else. And notice, that's important to know, especially as we hear about the power of Satan later. What it is saying in that prayer. He's far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, or every name that is named in heaven and earth, now and forever. There, in that place, He has put every enemy under His feet, verse 22 said. He is the conqueror. He is the mighty one. The picture is that He has put His feet on the neck of His enemy, and the enemy has surrendered. That's the picture. And from that victory that He has gained on the cross and at the open tomb, He is there now in heaven for the benefit of His church, for that body, to empower that body, to give that body gifts. Verse chapter 4 speaks about that He fills this body with power, with love, with discernment, with unity, with good works. That they fight sin, that they fight temptation, that we seek peace, that we seek unity. And He has led captivity, that bondage of sinners. But that bondage also that was because of Satan, he has led that captive. He has taken bondage in bonds. He's made a captivity through the cross, through the open grave. And now He is on that throne waiting until all His opponents are fully crushed. That's the power. That's the outfit. That's what we are talking about. That's what we need to remind ourselves before we come to our text. We need to remind ourselves of the power of Jesus Christ. That's in these words, because our text says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength, absolutely no. But in the power of His might. Not your own. And that is so liberating. If we understand it, if we grasp it with faith, not our own, it's Christ's power. It is the resurrection power of the one who sits at the right hand, that place of highest authority. He's ruling the church. He's ruling the world. He's conquering Satan. We might not see it. And we might not feel it. It might be that you feel that the devil is stronger in your life and sin is stronger in your life. But He has. These are realities that we grasp by faith, not by sight. Be strong. Be empowered through faith in Jesus Christ. Be empowered. That means you be united. You are united when you're trusting in Him. What He has done is for you. It's His power. We draw from His power, children. Here's an example for you. If you are going to make a sandwich and you want to toast it first, you put it in the toaster, right? Now, sometimes it springs back up, right? Well, what is the problem? It doesn't do its work. Well, it jumps back up because it's not connected. It's not in the outlet. See, it can only function if it's in the outlet. And that's what it means to live by faith. You need to be plugged in into the power from Him, not our own power. Abide in me and I in you, so will you bear much fruit. That That's the source. So that we can then do good works, not in our own strength, not in our own wisdom. So the question is tonight, are you plugged in? Are you plugged in? That means that you are one of those who Paul calls my brethren. Trusting in Him. He is our power. Often it feels like weakness, though. It feels often like Paul says it when he struggles and when he has this spiritual battle and he prays to the Lord to be delivered from the difficulty of that Satan angel, Satan that buffets him. What does he say? What does God say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Weakness. And that's often how it feels. But Peter the apostle says, when we are weak, when we are suffering for the name of Christ, when we are powerless in ourselves, that means that the glory of God can rest upon us. When I'm weak, Paul says, then I am strong. So are you plugged in? Are you plugged in? If you're not, then you need to humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trying to do all kinds of things in my own strength. But it doesn't work. I can satisfy the wrath of God over sin. I come, I surrender. Lord, come with a mighty arrow in my heart so that I surrender. So our text says, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. His might, that is His absolute control over every little thing. Let us surrender to that control in our thinking, in our talking, in our doing, even when He puts His finger on sins in our lives. Allow Him to say, Lord, here am I. Transform me. And make me strong in the Lord, power of His might. There's nothing He can do in your and my life. There's nothing He can't. Everything He can do, He's able. He's almighty. And the only thing He doesn't want to do, especially when you're His, is to tolerate your sins and my sins. He doesn't. So, He will do things in your lives that are sometimes painful, that sometimes are difficult. But stay connected, stay close. Stay close to His power and then fight. What an encouragement to begin with. Before you and I do anything else, we need to look at the outfit, the armor that God in the gospel gives to us. God says to us tonight, consider my power, not your own power. My blessings, who you once were, what I did in your life, your purpose, good works, where Christ is now in heaven. And remember how powerful He is to change. That's the outfit. It's receiving the power of Christ. What do we need to do with it? What do we need to do with it? That's the second one. Second thought here. The orders that we receive. The commander-in-chief speaks to us. It's God in Jesus Christ. He shouts His order in the battle of life, in the battle, the spiritual battle. And He says to us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. And literally, it's clothe yourselves with everything that I give. Clothe yourself with His armor. Clothe yourself with His power. It's receiving, empty-handed. It's His grace. It's not our earning, our doing. Put on each piece of this armor. Put on this whole armor, the full armor, literally, of God. Then you can defend yourselves against the attack of the opponent, of the enemy. Don't leave any peace that I give to you behind. Stand then in the power of Jesus Christ. Stand against the enemy. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. But humbly receive. Be obedient. Take up your armor. Now later on we are going to study each piece individually. But children, there's a question for you, young people. Imagine there's this Roman soldier there, because it seems from the names of the pieces of armor that it is a Roman armory. Imagine that one day he says, well, and he's just plain lazy, and he says, well, I don't need my sword, don't need my breastplate, I will just leave it off. And the darts have been coming only from that side. So I leave some pieces off. Only comes from the front. So I don't need to be protected at the back. And he does a sloppy job. Putting on. Receiving. Is that a wise soldier? No. Why not? Well, it's much easier, isn't it? Oh, the hassle of putting on. It can be difficult. It can be hard. Think about it in terms of spiritual things. That there are these hindrances in your life that need to be taken out of the way. Those lies. If he doesn't put on those pieces, do you think he really understands the danger of this spiritual warfare? No. He doesn't. He doesn't understand how strong the enemy really is. If the commander-in-chief, the captain, says something, we have to obey. Come with our empty hands, with everything that we don't have, and say, Lord, I receive. And we need to obey and put on that whole armor. And we are not to think, well, I know better. I don't need to listen. That's not only not wise, it's folly. It's folly. It's asking to go to your to be falling into temptation, to go to your death. We would not put on this armor. We underestimate the enemy. That's one way. We can overestimate, but we can underestimate the enemy. But if we are honestly looking at our lives, don't we do that when we are prayerless? We are underestimating the enemy. Don't we do that when we know our Bibles and read our Bibles, but do we really hide this word in our heart? So that we would not sin against the Lord. We underestimate when we think, and we have those fits even after grace, when we think, I can do it. I can do it today. I can do it in my own strength, my own understanding, my own thoughts. And we fight for our own name, and we fight for our own power, and we fight for our own. You fill in the blank. And God says, no, no. I actually hate that. I give you my power. And we think, well, I'm okay. Underestimating the enemy. By prayerlessness. By not hiding the word in our hearts, by not putting on everything that he gives to us, by leaving off pieces of the armory. And we need to understand that the devil has been in this fight for a long time, longer than we have. And that's where he comes, those weak spots, those bosom sins. That's where he comes, that prayerlessness. When we have no power, that's where he comes. When we're not studying in the Word and wrestling with the Word, he comes with his lies and with heresy, and he's twisting the gospel. And we go back to self-righteousness. We think we need to do it ourselves, and we fall back to that pride that is so pervasive in our lives by nature. And therefore God says to you tonight and to me, take now that whole armor every day. Don't do a quick job. No. Come and cry out to me. Don't underestimate the devil. Come and face your day with prayer, with scripture. Depend on his power, because otherwise you will be defeated. Pray with seriousness every day. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. That's underestimating the devil and overestimating ourselves. What when the other way around? When we underestimate ourselves and we overestimate the devil. Well, the devil is sometimes successful there too. And then we come and we have the idea that the devil is right beside us. And we are tempted to fear and we are afraid and we get to despair and we feel overwhelmed and we're ready to give up and we say, this battle is too hard for me. I can do it. It's too painful. Too impossible. Why? Have we put on that whole armor of God so that we know the power of God? Are we in awe of that power, in awe of that salvation? And are we resting in that resurrection power? The question that we need to ask ourselves tonight, have you and I reckoned with this awesome, magnificent, amazing, infinite, glorious power of God? Sovereign, wise, gracious, forgiving. That power. Have we reckoned? Have we come to grips with it? The potential, not of ourselves, but of God. That will make us fearless in battle. Are we properly armed? Or have we put on the whole armor? Is our trust in Jesus Christ, who gives that armor to us? As we trust Him, as we pray to Him, as we come to Him with all our weaknesses and all our sins, we need Him. We need Him desperately. So come to Him tonight. Come to Him again. And say, Lord, I'm weak. And say, Lord, I need this armor. I need this power. Especially when we are going to learn a little bit more about our opponent after we sing. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have an opponent, an enemy, and a wicked one. And that's the reason why God gives this outfit, this power. That's why He gives this order to us, this command. Because verse 11 says that. The reason is that ye may be able, so that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why. That's why. And notice, it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. Not against one another. That's what we are tempted to with sins like anger or envy or such kind of sins as we heard these past weeks. That's the temptation. Flesh and blood. Disunity. Yes, we sometimes need to correct one another in the spirit of meekness, considering one another, ourselves also. We do that in love. We love the person. When we come and need to correct someone else, we do that aware of the fact that we are weak ourselves and sinful. And we do it because we love the person and we love the soul of that person. Now, it's not flesh and blood. It's not you and me against one another. There's much more that we don't see with our eyes. There's much more to this battle than that meets the eye. There is this whole spiritual realm behind all the wicked sins in this world. Yes, it's also our heart that falls for it by nature. But there is this whole spiritual realm in which there is this battle going on. It's this battle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers in the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the devil himself. This is this cosmic battle, this battle that has been there ever since the fall. The battle with the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The enemy is called Diabolos. Devil. Diabolos in Greek. That means slander. Slander. He loves to conquer and divide and loves disunity, as chapter 3 and 4 of Ephesians points to the need for one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism. He loves to come with lies, false doctrine. We see that also in this letter where Paul says, don't be swept away with every wind of doctrine. The doctrines that make us distrust God. And just as he did in paradise. Is it true? Is it really true? He uses those wiles, our text says. The wiles of the devil. That means he is a schemer. He is a strategic one. He has these strategies. He knows how to fight the battle. He counts and he comes. And he knows where to attack. Let's not underestimate this enemy. Because he's not afraid to come to us and fight dirty. Dirty tricks. Every trick in the book. To gain the victory over us. He's ruthless. He's like a roaring lion. Well, a roaring lion that sees, oh, there is one weakling, there's one on his own, is not strong. Let's get to that. That's my prey. Seeking whom he may devour. That's how he works. And we see here, there's this impressive list of forces. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness in this world. Spiritual wickedness, that just summarizes the whole thing. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what this exactly means, those different, it seems there's a kind of hierarchy. There's higher devils and lower devils and things like that. As there is with the angels in heaven, there's higher angels, archangels, something like that. But this is some hierarchy in the unseen world. And it shows his great power. But it's not the greatest power. And when we consider those principalities and powers and rulers unseen, difficult to discern sometimes what they are doing, wreaking havoc in your life, in the life of the church, if possible. We feel it's unfair. We feel it's outnumbered. We're outnumbered. We feel like David and Goliath. We feel like this young man and then this huge, gigantic, trained giant, Goliath. We wrestle, it says in the text. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those powers. That means there's this super heavyweight wrestler, and we are like a young child, a believer. We are outnumbered in our own strength. We are. Is it hopeless? It would be. It would be. If we ever try in our own strength again and again, only for one critical fact. That's what we have just considered. Whose power? Whose power? Whose power do you and I fight with? That's going to make all the difference. That we come with David, how he came to Goliath. We do not come with sword and with armory. No, we come in the name of the Lord. That's how he came. That's how we need to come. And then the Lord comes and stands with us and fights with us and fights for us and fights in us through his Spirit. And then, only then, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The literal word is hyper-conquerors. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus when we are trusting his power. Because he has these wiles. The devil has these wiles. These tricks. These tricks. Well, what are some of his tricks? Well, there are two. He wants to lead us into sin, if possible. Or he wants to keep us away from God. Those are the two tricks. Lead us into sin. Keep us away from God. That's what he started with in paradise right away. Lead us into sin. And then keep us away from God, hiding behind a bush. Fleeing from God. And then he leads us into sin. How does he do that? Well, look at the life of David. Look at the life of Peter. He knows the temptations that we are weak. That where our weakness, our fearfulness, our fear for others, our some have to struggle with pride. Others have temptation, sexual temptation, covetousness, materialism. Others fight with anger. Others fight with bosom sins of gossip and slander. Those sins that, or those thoughts, our thought life. If we would know our thought life, we need to be cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we are vulnerable. And we are easily led into temptation. And the devil knows when we are most vulnerable. Because when you and I are tired, or maybe when we are careless, we just have had some spiritual victory, we are happy with something, or we are lonely, or we struggle emotionally with this one, this thing, or that thing, we are not alert, then he comes. When our guards are down, when we are discontent, when we're despairing, when we are in pain, he knows when you and I are most vulnerable. He knows that for a long time already. So that's the one thing. He wants to lead us when we are most vulnerable into temptation and if possible, into sin. And the second way he fights this battle, the tricks are by keeping people away from God. So how does he do that? No, distracting us from who God is, from his greatness, his power, his might, his mercy, so that we lose sight of His beauty and His glory, and we don't humble ourselves, we don't worship Him, we are still maybe simply coasting through life, distracting from this thing to the next and the next and the next. And how able He is these days with the distractions of phones and internet and all that stuff. But He does it also, not just by distracting, He does it by misrepresenting. Misrepresenting who? God. So, when you are led into temptation and you fall into sin, He says, well, sin is no big deal to some people. God is not as holy. It's okay. Just continue. But when you are guilty, you feel guilty, and then suddenly He comes and says, sin is a big deal. He blows it up. It's too big for God. God is not gracious. Or He bothers you. Are you really one of His? Are you really elect? Misrepresenting God. You can't trust God. You can't trust Him. Or He comes misrepresenting the character of hypocrites. And let me be clear about that. Believing I'm saved, nothing's changed in your life, but you claim something is good now. Because there's some head knowledge. I know the facts of the gospel. I know it, but it has not come to you with power. No power. And as a result, you have no desire, no real love and desire to be changed and to know Jesus Christ. And you're just resting on something. Something. Misery, and He tries to keep you there if possible. But the gospel comes also to those who have only had knowledge and says, you need to have Christ. And when you have His power, then you can fight this battle and then you will be strong. Look to Jesus Christ. But He also misrepresents believers. He comes slandering. When God in justification has justified us, we are righteous in God's sight. But the devil comes and says, no, you're not righteous. Look at this sin and look at that weakness and look at that and look at that and look at that. He slanders. He shows us our guilt in order, remember, to keep us away from God. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, He wants us to come closer to God, that we come with humility and confess and find forgiveness at the cross of Jesus Christ. But no, that's not what the devil does. The devil wants to come with lies about our sin and about ourselves, sowing doubt, misrepresenting our motives when we have tried to do something before the Lord. And He comes and talks about our motives. And how we need to have that character that Luther had. Do you remember? When Luther said that when the devil knocks on my door, he said, I don't go myself. I send Jesus Christ to the door. That's what it means to fight in the power of His strength. In His strength. Devil has years of experience, and therefore God says graciously to us, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, and put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand strong in His and His might alone. So, dear believers, dear congregation, Christian life is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's not just coasting along. I don't know if there's here someone who is just coasting along in life, and you're still fooled by the devil. Because life is serious. When you're still in the bondage of trivial things, playing around. No, real life is serious. Real life is lived in the perspective, I'm going to meet the Lord. I need to be strong in the Lord. So if there's someone here, then awake, repent, come to this battle and receive the armor, receive the power. Let Him do the work and receive what He has done. Trust in His power. And then you will be able to fight this battle also. And children of God, believers, when you look at an opponent, there's only one thing that you need to learn tonight and take home and think about and pray over. This thing. I need Him more than ever before. I need Jesus Christ and Him alone. I need His power. I need it in my life every day, every moment. It's simply summarized in these words. Without me, you can do nothing. And that is nothing. And you realize, when I have to fight this battle on my own, I will walk into every trap the devil sets. But let His grace come and empower you, and put therefore on this whole armor of God. Remember His outfit, His blessings that He pours on from on high through the power of the Spirit. Remember your past. I was dead. He made me alive. Remember your purpose. I'm here in this world to do good works that He has beforehand prepared for me that I should walk in them. Remember and never forget that He is on the throne. That He is on the throne and has defeated the devil. And that He will defeat him entirely, completely, the day that He returns from heaven. He is seated on the throne and He will have the victory. And because of Him, we will have the victory too. Only that way. Only victory in Jesus and His power. Amen.